listening to The Nasty Table,
the premier source for tabletop role-playing actual play. Now come on in, relax, and pull up a seat to The Nasty Table.
With us anymore. She's left us. This isn't how it was supposed to go. I've seen it a million times. The ashes of the newborn need to be spread on the forehead of the father, and then he will be raised from the dead. We'll consume his son in front of the daughter, and then we will be one. This isn't a choice. I'm asking you. I'm begging you.
It's all bullshit. Well, now we're here. Jerry shoots him dead.
Thank you, Jerry.
Did anybody give it real thought?
We already gave away one kid.
I'm like, all right, let's fucking go.
Out of the stable, directly into the building.
At this point, also crossing our fingers, we didn't kill that fucking kid too.
Nah, fuck the kid. Who cares?
Yeah. Fuck him.
That was Roy's whole thing. I don't know if anyone else picked up on that, but Roy was like, "We already traded one kid. Fuck him. He didn't care about Ricky. Like,
we already gave him. What's our goal?
Kill La Rocca, bro.
It's Ray's been saying this shit
for Jerry. At this point, it's kill them all. It's kill all of them. It's not let this fucking kid get eaten. It's none of that. Fuck Mars. Fuck all that.
Also, I have never played in any Delta Green where it's not an entire party kill. I've never played in one.
That's true.
Yeah. Damn. Oopsie.
Also, I said that somebody's going to be riding this horse out. Did you roll damage on the horse?
Yeah, the horse has actually survived. So.
Dude.
You don't know what that horse is capable of.
That's true. It's definitely a magic horse.
An Appaloosa. Dude, when I fucking said
we just dicked RJ so hard.
When I was like, oh, your best bet is taking the horse, like they're not gonna hit you with that.
I didn't think it was like
expect you to just
I thought we were gonna send the horse out like itself.
Look, I'm planning this, I'm writing this, I know you guys got the pipe bomb. I'm like, alright, it's probably gonna play a thing. Oh fuck. Maybe they'll tie it to the horse and just slap the horse's ass and make it go there.
I did not want to gamble with fucking
it
you.
Was a, it like, was well, a gamble. It is a gamble. It 100% is a gamble.
Mm-hmm.
Dude. And
Plus,
I'm not going to lie to you.
Has no hand.
I'm not going to lie to you. It would have been a ride check.
Yeah.
You didn't even get to roll ride ever.
He did. He rolled ride while riding caper. I was thinking about that.
You failed your only ride check
of 70.
Okay,
I maxed out my ride.
But you maxed out your ride, and you died doing that on a horse.
Yeah,
that's sick.
Yeah, that was weird.
Once more for the listening audience, I know that we had this prior where we almost had a character death. We have just had a character death. So, if anyone's listening and they think that this seems a little raw, that's because it is. We're picking up right where we left off. Give me a recap of the last session.
Roy died.
The end.
Also, Bobby Tillman's gonna get resurrected, we assume, in the coffin with the ashes of his... Oh, and also, I don't know if it confirms it, unless RJ didn't know what the fuck he was talking about, but Bobby was all those kids' dads.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she must have been pregnant with Lara when she left Bay Street, because I think she only had Ricky. Lara wasn't born when she left Bay Street, right? Yeah, Lara wasn't around. Maybe she was just pregnant then, and then, I mean, but timeline, I guess, could work out that Bobby was in her life for all of her pregnancies.
Going back to loose ends, like, we still don't really understand what the fuck the green's about, right?
The green?
Yeah.
What are you talking?
Like, we don't really, like, they stuff the bodies with the grain.
Oh, the grain.
We still don't know why that shit happens.
He just said it was a conduit, but it, I mean, that's
and
very
you, and, like,
vague.
You say, like, Bobby's all the dads. Like, that doesn't, like, what about, what the fuck was his name?
I will say, just to kind of make you guys feel
Greg
like shit
Atkins?
For a second.
His niece or whatever?
No. He's the dad of all the gospel.
Oh
kids.
Yeah.
But we didn't know
still,
that.
Like
we didn't have that confirmed.
Yeah, but I'm still saying like
it was a very
the little
Lara
girl,
wasn't
like what the
Lara was
yeah Lara
Bazzippi.
To break your hearts a little bit, I will say that RJ had an additional full page of dialogue, which sure did not get explored. You know, maybe some useful information in there. Who knows? Who can say?
I think we're undervaluing how badass that moment was.
It was very cool.
Fuck him.
My favorite fucking part of that is that you don't look for validation from your sergeant. You don't look for a group consensus. Ray says, do it.
My partner.
That's my partner.
You need going one back fucking to man. OG. One other person besides him had to be like, yeah, this is valid.
Dude. But
I don't think he would have done it if Caleb said
I was just going to say, I don't think Jerry would have done it. But Ray's his fucking partner. Roy's, no offense. You're fucking crazy.
To be fair, Caleb, I think, had no problem with it at that point.
Mm.
Yeah, Roy.
I don't think Caleb did.
But it was like, yeah, Jerry, like, obviously he didn't just shoot him. But once Ray said something,
dead guy?
Just like, yeah, I'll do it.
Remember him?
Yeah.
Why is your mic on? Mute that.
I'm humble.
You just got to do commentary over the whole next session.
Yo, that's crazy.
Does it hurt?
Yeah.
It has to hurt.
It does. Full transparency. Of course it does. It was a decision, though.
I mean, this is a character you've been with for over a year and a half.
I reread his backstory. Pretty much before like every session for the past like couple weeks, and I remembered as I was writing it that, like, when I finished writing it, I was like, nothing really, like, this is just like the story of like a real guy. This is like
that's Delta
this
Green,
is, like,
dude.
A real life fucking guy, just backstory. Like, this is not like the. I don't know, the backstory is similar to the backstories that I've written before. It's like, this is just a guy. Here he is. Fucking here's what happened before, and now he's fucking got a job. He's been here for a decade, right? Like,
and that's what I love, and I always say this. I always use this exact analogy. I'm like, in D&D, you're playing as Grognak the Barbarian, who's cutting down dragons and stealing hordes of treasure. In Deltagreen, you're playing Dave from accounting.
Yeah,
I say that word for word verbatim every single time because that's truly what it is. And you are able to express this character, explore this character through not only the story that I provide to you, but your interpretation of the disorders that I give you and basically role-playing that whittle away of sanity.
Yeah.
Now, without getting into specifics, because I really, really don't want to dive into it at all, do you hold any regrets on peeling back certain parts of your backstory?
No.
Or I should say, not peeling back certain parts of your backstory.
I don't. I don't think that, like, Roy really liked these guys. Like, he really liked his detectives. Like, he did. I don't know. He loved his job, and he, like, fucking loved his co... Like, these are his tight-knit coworkers, you know? So, but even with that said, there was not an opportunity that would have caused him to fully, you know, lay every single card out on the table, which of course did not happen. So
I always thought that was just fun.
Another big loose end that I've been trying to figure out, which I really hope that we didn't figure this out already and I just forgot or didn't know or something like that.
Probably the case. Go ahead.
RJ's painting.
We never figured anything out about that.
For me,
I've been
personally.
Trying to figure out. It was what was it?
M.
A.M.
And April McNeil.
Yeah.
And bro, his fucking he has an art kit. He has an art kit.
And Davey Weiss mentioned it.
Never figured that out, and I've been trying to connect the dot on that for literally months. I swear to God.
Do you? That's something
we can't figure it out.
I cannot wait until we have our official debrief.
Me too, dude.
Are you going to give us one question, or can we just
go in depth about a lot of everything. I am going to have no holds bar except for stuff that I plan to reuse in future campaigns.
Yeah, that's hobby.
So, the explosion sends shards of shrapnel flying in each direction. A metal pipe goes end over end and embeds itself in the chest of Sergeant Roy McNeil, killing him. Roy, your vision fades to black. And then, in a moment, you're in your home, sitting on the couch, looking down to see yourself wearing a scratchy Christmas sweater. Your left hand whole, intact. In fact, it's holding a glass of bourbon. Hanging on a high wall, a decorative sign. Congrats, Roy. Christmas music playing softly, the smell of gingerbread, people holding conversations all around you, Christmas Eve. 1969. You've just made sergeant. Ray, new to the force, chats with Jerry in the kitchen, Caleb holding a conversation with Dwayne Gaines, and Jerry's wife, Emma, your ex-partner, Mark Cannon, dressed as Santa, your close friend, Adam, April, other officers, friends, neighbors, Chuck Berry's there. And across from you,
Chuck fucking Berry's there.
That's my boy. I got a caper from him.
Across from you, Glenn Longo. Wearing a sweater. You hear me, Roy?
Yep. Yeah, I hear you.
Sergeant's a big responsibility, and you did good on the tests. You're a good cop, and you've got a sense of justice. I really think you're gonna be fine.
Thanks, Lieutenant.
I look forward to seeing what we do together. I really do. Congratulations.
Stick my hand out to shake it.
Mm-hmm. And he shakes it, and you can tell he's rosy in the cheeks. He's been drinking, and he like grabs your hand and slaps the other side of it. You're gonna be fine.
Thanks, Lieutenant. We're gonna do some real good, you and I.
I think so. We got a good team here. Good guys, level heads. You know, everybody shows up on time. They punch their cards as well as I can ask, but you know, at the end of the day, we got a good few years ahead of us. Hopefully nothing goes crazy, nothing goes wrong, and we're able to stay afloat, keep punching our numbers. You know, this year was pretty good. You guys did pretty good. I'm sorry to force you onto night shift like this, but it's a big promo.
Hey, I'll take it. More time I get to spend with April.
Yeah. The punch is really good. And you snap. You wake up in your bed to hear sounds of a struggle downstairs. You immediately get out of bed and you see your left hand is missing.
I get up and I just fast pace go downstairs.
You hear screaming, yelling, struggling.
As I go down, I peek through April's door.
Open, bed made.
Keep going.
Downstairs, you make a turn down the stairs. You look into the kitchen to see Weiss Clay in a melee with Doug Caliburn. Doug is on top, choking him.
Jesus. I run up to... and try and tackle him off of Weiss.
Tackle him off of Weiss. Doug turns to you and just looks you right in the eyes. And then he's gone. And Weiss, gasping for breath. Roy! Roy!
You alright, man?
What happened?
I made a choice. I'm sorry.
No, you gotta... You gotta wake up now. We're not done.
I look out the window. I quickly look out the window. What's it look like out there?
Blackness. Four or five feet off of your front lawn, encircled in blackness. No. We're done. You wake up. We get back out there.
I get the feeling that there's no waking up from this, man. You saw what happened. Think.
No, I'm... There's still more, right?
I hope I didn't fuck up. Did I fuck up?
No. No, I think it just... it comes down to your squad. You trust them?
I like, if he's still on the ground, I lay next to him with my back on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like staring at the ceiling.
Yeah.
Of course I trust him. I do.
Well, then leave it up to them and see what shakes out. You see out of the corner of your vision, his hand kind of reaches across your head and he's got a swisher in between his fingers, handing it over to you.
With my good hand, I reach over for the swisher.
Oh my god.
And I'm like, you know, I told everyone these were Cubans.
I knew they weren't.
You and me both, buddy.
I got him a 2-pack of Swishers.
Yeah.
And he lit one up exactly as Weiss handed him one.
The explosion rockets off. The shrapnel and ricochet finds purchase on the lawn and in your sergeant. The second floor begins to cave in and fall in on itself. There's a couple seconds where you notice after this explosion goes off, the stability of the house, the foundation seems to crack and chip as it is slowly falling in on itself. At this point in time, part of the top floor has collapsed down. You hear this loud bang. But the door is still there. The door frame still exists, although you'd be walking through various piles of debris and detritus. The one thing that becomes apparent to every single person in this moment is a horse exits the front and trots its way down. Unscathed, the Appaloosa walks down, makes its way calmly. What is everyone doing?
I'm in the same exact spot, looking for any action around the horse going on in the house.
No movement that you can see, and you don't hear any sounds except for what sounds like crumbling debris.
Who sees Roy die?
You.
Just me.
Just you.
And you're, what, on the other door of the
he's
same
in
place?
He's in the stable still.
You told me there was a man down. That was it.
Yeah, yeah.
I kind of drop Ray's body, or RJ's body, and like walk slowly backwards into the stable and sit basically where RJ was sitting.
Mm-hmm.
And I just sit down.
Ray, you see Jerry walk past you, kind of walking calmly despite whatever kind of fervor or adrenaline was in the battle there. Caleb, you're still by the side of the house. We're out of combat. What do you guys want to do?
Flank to the side, gun drawn, ready to get anybody that's trying to escape this house. Is there a fire that started?
No. You don't notice.
Okay.
Yeah, same as Caleb, except I'm hunkering down in my same spot because I'm already there.
Yep.
Just trained on the house.
Silence.
Movement, an eerie silence for this building about to collapse?
There's sounds of the building collapsing slowly, chunks falling off and wood hitting the floor, but it's spaced out. Maybe like every 10 or so seconds you hear another big portion of this house kind of crumble to the ground. It doesn't look like it's going to fully collapse, but it looks like there was damage to the top floor. Maybe about half of it has collapsed in on itself, but the house itself is still standing.
Keep flanking further. See if there's a back.
Yeah, so you flank off to the back of the stable, make your way over to the left side, and you can see barely. It looks like there's a back porch. You're not able to tell if there's a back door.
Try to get a good view on it.
So, do you step out of cover?
Yes.
There's no visible windows on the side of the house, which you're at now.
Yeah, I am I assumed that I was doing that beforehand. Okay, yes, I am stepping out of cover.
Okay. Stepping out of cover, making your way around, and you can see the back is where it looks like the top floor has collapsed in onto the ground level. What you also notice is that there is a back door there, but it looks like it's covered by debris and detritus that has fallen from the top floor down.
There's no windows on the side?
You do notice there is a window on the backside, but it's on the far side of where you're from now. So if you're on the right side of the house and you look towards the back door and you see that there's like collapsed debris in there, kind of past that debris, you do see a window.
No movement that I can see?
No. Nothing you can hear either.
Move back over to Ray, because I'm assuming I saw him as I left cover.
No, you did not see Ray in any way, shape, or form. Kind of the route that you took would be pretty much everywhere except for the front of the stable.
Okay, then try to make my way.
Yeah.
Still eyes trained on the house to the front.
Yep, eyes trained on the house to the front. Out of the corner of your vision, you see your sergeant with a metal pipe embedded through his chest, unmoving and unconscious.
I start to walk past, and I stop. Get down on one knee and try to take the pipe out of his chest.
Ray, I would imagine you would see this if you're still kind of peeking out, taking a close look.
Yeah.
Easy enough with a resounding pull the pipe out of his chest. I need every single person at this table. I need every single alive person at this table to roll sanity for me.
Roll it for fun.
Crit fail.
Dude, oh my god, I've been rolling
so
shit.
Oh my god, I roll fucking rocks on sanity.
14.
11 on a 23.
This is the most sanity I've ever had somebody lose. So when a critical failure happens on sanity, you lose the max possible die roll. I'm rolling a d10 for everyone witnessing Roy's death. Ray, you're going to lose 10 points of sanity watching Roy die. You guys both succeeded?
Yes.
Yep.
You guys are going to lose one. Ray,
if you
Ray,
the exact
so
break,
watching him die
no,
is...
No, you have to pass it.
You have to pass it.
Watching him die is horrible, and it hurts. And even though you've gotten to this point and you have your motives in mind and these are just people to help you get to where you want to be, Roy was your friend. And now he's gone.
I think it's enough for Ray to take his sights off the... Or his sights out of focus, out of the scope, and kind of just retreat back into the stable.
Where you see Jerry sitting where RJ was.
Yeah, and Ray's just kind of 1,000-mile stare, like, fuck, man. Like, I'm really going to have to lose everything again to get what I want.
What's Jerry doing?
Do I notice him come back in?
Yeah. And he was kind of, like, in the door frame.
I just, like... I'm literally sitting in the same exact way RJ was in the same spot. And I imagine, like, I look over to you. And he, like, swallows. Takes out a cigarette. Puts it in his mouth. Lights it. Takes a long drag.
I'll take one out with him.
And I look at you and I... Man down.
Yeah, man. Gonna have to get used to that here.
The horse is alive?
Yeah. I don't know how the fuck the horse is alive, but the horse is alive.
Where's Caleb?
He's coming back around right now.
Jerry, like, has a moment. He gets back up.
Yeah. Caleb, after you take this pipe out, what do you do?
In this... bloody mess that is his chest cavity. Caleb starts compressions. Pumping.
Roll first aid.
Oh, sorry, man. 43 on a 33. I almost saved you.
He's gone.
He presses his hands in tighter to this wound. Almost like he's trying to push in the dirt. Caleb stands up, brushes the blood off his hands into the dirt, and walks up to the front door, gun drawn.
Okay. Jerry, you said you stood up. What are you doing?
Going to fucking... the stepping up was like a realization that, like, I don't know where Caleb is.
Yep.
So I go and I peek the door again.
Yep.
And I assume I see him.
Yep. You see Caleb. No horse.
Okay. I shout Caleb's name. Caleb!
Not hiding, but yeah, walking straight up to this front
and
door.
I notice he hasn't done Shauna, and he's just kind of out in the middle.
Yeah.
I like look back at Ray, and then I just walk towards Caleb. I walk as fast as I can. I mean, I'm pretty low on health, but
I'll take up my same position as before, kind of hanging back and
yep,
get an entire view of the house.
Okay, Caleb, you're stepping inside.
Yeah,
almost,
and almost like I'm trying to clear a house. And very methodical.
And as methodical as you can be, this makes it very difficult. I mean, even the door frame here is cracked, and you can see, like, parts of the ceiling collapse down in this spattering of black of where this bomb obviously exploded. There's a crater that's in the ground there. You see stairs that continue upwards off to your right, but the ceiling is caved in, blocking off any kind of access to the second floor. Whatever was here, your best guess was it was some sort of living area. You see a couch that has been torn to shreds amidst the shrapnel in different pieces. There's a man, pieces of a man. You see a foot. You see a hand. Off to the right, you see half of a face. Half of another face. Two different faces. Continuing on to the left, there's a large pile of debris, but further than that, it looks like there's a door on the left and a door on the right. There's a kitchen area in the back, and that's what leads to that back door I was talking about. That's where most of this debris has fallen from the top floor, completely cutting off any kind of entrance. Roll alertness.
45 on a 75.
45 on a 75, you hear croaking coming from a door off to the right.
Since I was there, does this croaking sound similar to Doug's croaking at the window?
No.
Croaking, how do you... like somebody dying?
So, Jerry, you follow up behind Caleb?
Yeah, I want to speed up and just get with him.
Yeah, so probably up to the point that he's at, now you've kind of passed that door frame. Like I said, stairs on the right that have debris that collapsed down that would make it pretty hard to get up there. Off to the left, I mean, you see blood and shrapnel and...
Yeah.
Farther to the left, there's some more debris, but you do see a door off to the left. This kitchen area is collapsed in. There's not much there. And then off to the right, there's a door. Now, when I say that there's a door... You can see the bottom half of it because the debris has collapsed down off of this explosion. And that croaking sound, if you see the back of Caleb, you kind of hear it too as well, coming from this door. You'd have to crouch down, maybe finesse through the debris to get into here, but you hear that sound.
I want to, like, say, like, Caleb, and I want to, like, grab his shoulder.
Yep.
We're here to end this, right? No more time for decision. And I brush him off and I start heading to this right door.
Decision. We just lost a member here.
I start heading for the right door.
Heading for the right door, you got to kind of crawl under some debris and make your way up and over and in. And it opens up into a large room. It appears as if half this room has been smashed down from the top down because of this explosion. And as you kind of cross this threshold into this room, there's a split second. Roll dodge.
I'm going to roll this with a program point.
Go ahead.
It's not even fucking worth it, but...
Yeah, no,
I'm going to roll with a program point.
Hey, well, hold on. I have it written down. Me and you both have...
Yeah, I know. I have one, though. I have one and a half.
I know, but I'm wondering if...
Like, if you need it, if we need it later. If we need it later.
All right.
If we need it later. Right. I have one on my own right now.
I got you.
Fifty-four on a thirty.
You're going to take 3 points of damage as a chunk of ceiling smashes down, hits you directly in the head, and kind of sets you dazed for a second the second you enter this room.
And I, like, witness this.
Yeah, you see it. He basically has to, like, crawl down to get under this debris to get into this room, and then the second you see him clear it, you basically just see, like, his bottom half. You see him kind of, like, shrug down as if he took a blow and you hear that crash.
There's no way for me to sneak under now, or
you can still. Yeah, it looks like it's like a chunk of wood. It's nothing huge.
I kind
of
like, I'm just like, fuck, and I get down and I start crawling in.
This croaking sound still kind of continues as you see this fairly large room. Like I said, half of it is collapsed in from the ceiling down, but what you can see here is bookshelves, smashed curio cabinets, glass displays that have been in various states of damage from the explosion, antiquities, pottery, clay that's been completely smashed. The ones that you can see immediately recognizable as holding the symbol in some way or another of Apsogos and Ikos. Now, the first thing that you see when you enter this room that really kind of draws your attention is a man on his stomach, stuck under debris, breathing heavily, just kind of clawing at some floorboards there. And his eyes are bloodshot, and he looks up at you, and you don't recognize him.
You got a race on this guy?
White.
Okay. Nothing else in this room that I can see?
Yeah, so if you just kind of ignore that and keep looking around, it looks like in the center of the room there's this thick wooden desk that's been overturned. There's a scattering of paper and other stationery supplies across the floor. But seated in the floor, where this desk likely was, there's a metal hatch, similar to like a submarine hatch.
We're both just in here now?
Looking at this guy, just clawing at the floor. It looks like he's trying to grab the hatch, but it's like 5 feet away from him. He's collapsed under this debris. His eyes are bloodshot, and you look him in the eyes, and they just look red from the blood. Coughs, and blood comes out.
Does he resemble a Laraka?
That's a tough question.
I mean, the Larakas are what are they, Italian? Mob?
Does he look mob race?
Are you asking
me if he looks Italian?
Yeah, I mean, does he have like fucking slicked back hair? Does he look like he eats pepperoni a lot? Like, what's going on here? Like, come on now, give me some. Is he hairy? Like, what's up?
He looks like a man. He looks like a guy.
Yeah, you look like a man, and you look like a guy.
He looks like a man.
Come on, dude.
Does Alex look like Greek? I mean, this is a tough question.
He doesn't look Greek.
What?
I don't think you look Greek. Like, if I saw you, I feel like he looks Italian.
I feel like all the mob, like I know the people Greek. That we met in the or we saw in the guest station, yeah, like no. They're wearing like leather.
No,
like,
he doesn't. He does. Like, he's wearing.
Nothing's weird.
Now, if you're kind of taking a closer look, he is wearing a suit. But he doesn't have like slick back hair. He's not fucking.
Can I access his
got a
pockets.
Glass of wine? You can. So the bottom half of him is crushed under this debris. If you kind of step up and put your hand like through like his suit pockets mm-hmm. on the inside.
Yeah, I want to try.
Yeah, and you kind of put your hand in. And the one is empty, and he's like looking at you.
I step on his head.
He kind of like cocks down. And you put your hand in his other pocket, and you pull out a wallet.
I want to open it up, and I want to check for an ID.
U.S. driver's license, Pennsylvania, John Laraca.
I close it. And does he have hair?
Yeah, he's got hair.
I want to throw his wallet on the ground. I don't fucking need it. And I kind of get down on the floor and I take his hair and I pull it up and I look him in the face.
And each time, like, he makes any kind of, like, breath out, this blood kind of spatters out from his mouth. You can see, like, outlining the edges of his teeth are just red with blood as he's struggling to breathe.
Caleb quickly exits the room.
Okay. I'm going to speak to him. I want to say, I need you to live for just a little bit longer. Feel that pain. What's crushed? Your hips? You're bleeding on the inside. What's going on? And I'm just holding his hair. And I drop it.
His head clatters to the floor.
And, I just kind of, like, I notice Caleb leave, right?
Yeah.
And, I just kind of post up for a little bit. If there's anything that catches my eye in, you know, maybe books or anything like that, I can inspect or something like
that. Yeah, we'll pick up with that once we get to Caleb. Caleb, you make your way out kind of quickly, ducking and diving under this and kind of like rubbing the back of your head where that debris hit you as you make your way out. Ray, are you doing anything in this time other than kind of like keeping a watchful eye out?
Keeping a watchful eye as well as when, they've been in there for well over a minute at this point.
Yeah, I'd say probably about like 2-3.
I would want to start like leaving the stable, staying still in front of the house and kind of like inspecting some of these bodies, getting a better idea of just like the scope of the fight. Like what exactly were the percentages here? What are, is everyone missing or have something that's kind of raising flags? Anything.
Yeah, so you're starting to go through. What you do notice is about a fifth of them look like police officers in uniform. If you do kind of
any police officer
turn over these bodies or anything like that, yeah, like I mentioned to Jerry two sessions ago, you see Minneapolis, Milwaukee, Chicago. And the one thing that sticks out to you now that you're getting a really close look, you see Pittsburgh PD. Now, all these police officers that you do kind of look over, they're all armed. They have guns on them, in their hand, next to their body, some of them even on their hip. Some of these guys got bullet holes. Some of these guys are just ripped apart, torn to shreds. Again, like I mentioned to Jerry, they are majority male. Any other specific questions about these bodies?
Well, I mean, just the demographic of it. So you said 20% are cops. The other 80% is like...
So another maybe out of the remainder, I would say about 2/3 look well-dressed. And I imagine Ray... You have experience with this, reaching in their pocket, some sort of derivative of an Italian birth name.
Yeah.
Some of them don't have wallets. Some of them do. Some of them have guns. Some of them have money on them. Some of them have keepsakes. I mean, one of them you just find like a little mirror. One of them you find, you know, a folded up note that opens up into a Polaroid of just two kids. There's no pattern here. Other than that, the ones who aren't obviously police or obviously some sort of crime family just seem like regular people.
All young to regular aged-ish adults.
Yeah, no pattern there. All adults, no kids, no super old people, nothing like that. And I would say that would probably be the limit before Caleb kind of steps out there.
Yep, okay.
Caleb, you walk out and you see Ray maybe like 50 yards past.
Caleb walks out, down 3 stairs, sees you. Eyes starting to well up, red at this point, and just looks at Ray and into the right. In that first room in on the right.
Ray kind of, it's a very, very, very slow grin that builds on his face, but he's almost like taking his time. He moseys on in.
So, Ray passes by Caleb. Jerry, you're still in there kind of going through. You do notice a scattering of papers on the floor. They're worn, weathered, kind of like yellowed. They're written in a language you're not entirely sure of. Maybe Spanish, maybe Italian. The other thing, like I mentioned, is a lot of these scatterings of the things that aren't damaged, like the books that aren't damaged, the glass display cases that aren't damaged, they look like, at least for the display cases, pottery and relics that have that symbol of the circle with the swoosh over it. The books all seem fairly random, but they all seem academic in nature. Encyclopedias, world histories, a lot of history books, a lot of, you know, even some mathematic books too, physics and stuff like that. It's not an extensive collection. You've been in Weiss Clay's house, and he had a much more expansive and larger collection than this as you're kind of going through, even if you're to take into assumption whatever was destroyed in this debris falling down. And the entire time you're in here, John is pressed under this debris and still frantically crawling and maybe making like an inch of progress trying to peel himself from under this debris, but not enough for it to matter.
Yeah, no, I'm not worried about it at all.
Ray, what are you doing?
I go up to this room and I want to tell Sarge. I assume Sarge kind of feels.
And he's been with you this whole time, like almost like in between your legs. And he's still kind of like stumbling with each step.
I don't even want to say anything. I'm just going to kind of put my hand to my side, you know, up in a stop, downward stop.
Yep. And he stops.
Sit here and give him a couple pets.
Mm-hmm. And he stays. You can tell he's whimpering and almost as if he's just as tired as you are.
So to enter, I have to kind of crawl underneath some stuff, right?
Yeah, so it's probably like duck down and kind of squirrel your way in.
Yeah, so I'll do that.
Okay. And Jerry, you notice Ray make his way down and over and up. And you see very quickly, directly off to the left, John LaRocca, stuck under debris.
I kind of like look over. I'm like looking through a book and I see you come in and I'm like, I think that's your guy.
I take out a cigarette. I offer you one.
I'd gladly take it.
I light mine. I light yours. I take out a third and I come right into eyesight of John. I come around enough. Flick a third cigarette right at his forehead.
And it bounces off and clatters to the ground, and he's looking at you, and he's looking right at you.
He said, "Oh, Jerry, that's my guy."
I'm taking drags of my cigarette like Rust Cole when he's like really crazy and his eyes are like really like open. Mm-hmm. He just, and I'm just watching, and I'm just like almost excited to see my partner get what he wants, you know what I mean, and just put this fucking guy to the ground, because Jerry hates him just as much, and he's just
the one
like
thing,
almost like adrenaline pumping, just like, do your thing, make it violent, entertain me.
The one thing that you notice is a wash of recognition cross his eyes as he locks eyes with you. And he almost stops struggling for a second.
I want to, how hard is it to just get just a little bit of this debris off of him? Just, you know, just like, just to start.
With my help?
Yeah, perhaps.
Yeah, it's not too hard if you guys try to clear off some of this stuff.
Like if it's, so he's,
it's basically up to like his, he's on his stomach, it's up to like his upper back. You can kind of,
I want
to
get it to like his ass.
Yeah, you kind of start pulling it off and he's, pieces coming off, and eventually it's up to his tailbone, I'd say.
Okay. As soon as we get it there, I want to sit on the ground far enough from him and just chief like half, maybe even two-thirds of this cigarette, just sit for a minute. Soak this in, that this moment's really here.
And you can see the blood pooling on either side of him, blood dripping out of like his left nostril now at this point, and over the corners of his mouth. He looks at you.
Fuck you. Fuck me. Fuck you. You stupid cunt. I'm not even the one that killed you. I look out the window. My fucking dead partner did. Did you shoot him? Bet you did. Stupid bitch. Fuck you. You tell me fuck you. You killed my fucking family. What do you get off on, you stupid prick? And you do this to people, what? Weekly? Daily? I don't fucking know. Probably more, multiple times in a day. It's, I told myself I'd rein myself in. I thought about what I would do to you for a really long time. Not to the fellow on my squad that actually killed my family. Not him. Not the people that pull the trigger for you. Just you. You really piss me off the most. You think we're all just fucking puppets? But now that I'm here, what really gives me the most satisfaction is not doing a thing at all. I don't do anything from this point on. I sit there in silence and watch him for as long as he struggles. This could take an hour, and Ray would sit there and watch.
For the next 30 minutes, I ask if Caleb or Jerry have anything that they want to do.
After Caleb walked outside, he grabbed the pipe bomb, the second pipe bomb off of Roy.
Do you grab anything else off of Roy's body?
No, I tucked back in his jacket from where I was doing the compressions. I let him rest. And Caleb walks in the house, and he waits outside of this door to this right side room. Doesn't do a thing.
Is there, like, a desk or anything in here? Something that I can sit on?
That desk has been flipped over. You can just kind of sit on the back.
I'm literally just, like, flipping through books, just, like, chain smoking. Just flipping through books and, like, looking up every so often. Like, Jerry's getting the satisfaction to see Roy getting the satisfaction, or Ray getting the satisfaction that he needs. It's good.
Ray.
And we got time.
For the next 30 minutes, you sit crisscross applesauce, watching John LaRocca slowly die, and the whole time he's looking directly at you. He doesn't say a word. He just struggles and claws, tries to move his arm, and you can see it's bent, and his arm is right at the elbow, like bent the wrong way and backwards. And he's just kind of like floundering with that hand, and the other hand is grabbing forward. Slowly, across the course of half an hour, the light fades until his head hits the ground, and a final pool of blood extends out from his backside, and he's unmoving. Ray, you're gonna regain 20 points of sanity.
Holy fuck. That's insane. 20? Holy shit.
Where do you get your beers from?
Just the liquor store. you don't have a guy?
When I was like 16, I had a guy.
You don't know like somebody with a fake?
Yeah. You want some beers?
I stayed loyal to my guy from when I was under 21.
Yeah.
I stay loyal. It's so inconvenient.
Stay loyal to Nick Pino and ask Nick Pino to buy me his fucking 30 beer.
I'm 25 years old getting runs.
Yo, I got a guy. You guys want anything?
Yeah, we're gonna have to tip him though.
Yeah, make sure you throw him five. Make sure you throw him five.
You guys down to drink tonight? No, my guy's not around. We can't
he's on vacation. I think I can get us four Millers each.
No, yeah.
Fuck. All right. Fuck me.
So, Ray, you watch as the light leaves his eyes. In this moment of clarity, you regain this sanity. It's finally fucking here. And you close your eyes for just a second. You open them up. And you're in a phone booth. Chicago suburbs. Cold and windy. Sarge rubbing up against your leg. Your nose is red. Fists clenched. The phone up to your ear, and you hear a voice. Minneapolis, south of it, somewhere in the Linwood area. I'm telling you, Leo, this could be it. The source is good. Their PD has a detective opening right now, and I'm not telling you what to do, but this seems like a good opportunity. Just be careful.
Do I recognize this voice?
Simon Burton.
Yeah, man, I've been getting into some shit here in Chicago, and I kind of... I don't want to do too much digging in a spot that I don't think has got it, so...
This is it. This is a gold mine, and worst comes to worst. Leo, you can just bail out if it gets too hot.
Yeah, man, I don't know. Well, I'll keep you in the loop, whatever I do, all right?
All right. Be careful. All right? But you should be fine. Good luck.
Love you, man.
Hang up. In the middle of him saying, the receiver clicks. Blink hard. Open him back up to look over the corpse of John LaRocca, crushed under debris.
Yeah, fuck, I light another cigarette. I get up, I stand over him for like a good 30 seconds. Kind of just blank. Not like super satisfied looking, but not overwhelmed. Just pretty straight. And I kind of shake my head a little bit. Sarge.
Second passes before, through the debris, deftly and swiftly, in steps Sarge.
I'm going to kind of take a step away, bend down, get close to him, you know, pet him. Just kind of need a little comfort right now.
Mm-hmm. And he nuzzles up next to you and puts his head in your lap and looks up towards you and looks you right in the eyes.
What?
Just looking at you.
What? And then, if he doesn't say anything soon, right, Ray just fucking shakes his head and he's like, fuck! Alright, Jerry. You fucking ready? I'm gonna get you out of here.
You're gonna get me out of here?
Yeah, I'm gonna get you out of here. I'm gonna get you and... Come on, let's go. I guess Caleb's...
We have unfinished business here. I know you just... I guess finished yours, but... We ain't done here. And I look at the latch.
The hatch sits on the floor, pressed inside. Like I said, like a submarine hatch.
Yeah, I look at it and I take a drag of a cigarette and... Caleb! Fuck in here.
Caleb ducks down, enters the room.
Were you doing anything specific in those 30 minutes time?
Nothing at all.
Staring off in the distance.
Enters. Tries to meet Ray's eyeline.
I don't say a word. I'm just stare at you.
Caleb puts his head down, stares at his feet, waits for 30 seconds.
If Jerry wants to go down here, I want to get you two boys out of here.
Caleb looks up, a little bit of shock, still. Eyes are a little bit bloodshot. Steps up next to Jerry.
I'm not ready to get out of here.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Caleb reaches for the latch.
Wait. I stop him. I mean, we can assume what's down there. Do you want to try and get IDs on some more bodies before we try and do that?
What if it's a kid, man? I haven't heard any movement.
Did the body fall from the window upstairs?
Yeah, it did.
It did? It's on the ground?
No, it's hanging halfway in and out the window. The stairs that seem to lead up to there are blocked by debris when you saw.
Alright, go ahead, open it.
Caleb, the pipe bomb that was in his hand, he tosses it to Ray. And, slowly, cautiously, opens this latch.
You're met with resistance as it seems the latch is locked.
Is it wooden floorboards?
Seems to be, yeah.
Is there a key?
Nope, doesn't look like there's any keyhole. If anything, this turn valve seems to lock from the inside.
Why was John LaRocca reaching for it?
Yeah. Can I try to take a piece of shrapnel debris from this fallen ceiling, try to wedge it into a close floorboard to the hatch, and try to peel up one of the floorboards?
You're able to peel up one of the floorboards to reveal what looks like a metal casing surrounding this hatch.
Did they... Well, I just went into this room, so I'm going to walk out of this room while they're trying to look at this hatch.
Yeah.
In the first floor, kind of trying to see around what's left of it.
Collapsed debris in the kitchen area, which is kind of where you step out of into this main room here. You see debris has collapsed from the ceiling down to completely block off what looks like one door. And then off to the right, there is another door that seems like there's a little debris in, but you could probably step over it or maybe wade through it to get up. Those stairs that I said lead up on the right side, right when you directly enter this home, there is debris there. It looks like you could probably finesse across it, but even if you were to get up to that second floor, it would probably be, you know, there's not a lot of floor there because it's collapsed in.
Is it floor near an exterior wall?
Floor,
at the top of the stairs?
Yes.
Which exterior wall?
The right exterior wall.
And that's it? Only the right?
You're not able to see anymore because there's debris that's actually fallen on the stairs themselves.
Is there a window at that landing?
At the top? At the top? No.
Okay. Let's clear this other room out first, all right? Come on.
Yeah, I walk out.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Get ready to clear this room. I'm going to get my hand on the door, kind of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got my gun
look
out.
It up, look at them. Oh, my nod. Open it up swiftly.
Open it up swiftly, and it's probably maybe like half a foot of debris that's kind of there, and maybe you kind of kick it to the side with your foot as you have to open this door, open it up, and it is devoid of threats. But you do notice that it opens up into what looks like a bedroom. Now, this bedroom has a few things in there. What you notice is a bed. You notice a small leather-bound chest at the foot of the bed. And the other thing that you notice that spurs a little bit of memory would be a particular colored carpet.
Yeah.
That is reminiscent of the pictures found in Bobby's home. The bed itself looks like it's a double-sized bed.
This is the one room that survived.
Fuck.
All right.
Last but not least, to put an exclamation point on this room, metal shackles are bolted to the headboard of this bed. Stains on the sheet. Brown, red, and black. Even from the wafting of gunpowder in the air from the exposed bomb, this room stinks.
Ew.
It stinks?
It stinks.
I want to light? Pull my...
Shit and death.
Oh, good.
if I either have a cloth on me, or if not, if it's too much to get out, I just pull my stuff up over my nose and mouth, and I want to investigate this room. Oh, try and, not like insanely thorough, but you know, rifle through it and see if any, there's a chest, you said. I don't know. Any floorboards seem weird.
So stepping in, I mean, most of it is this red carpet that kind of is on the floor here. As you step in, you look off to the left. You also notice a couch that's there. It looks like it's beat up, kind of worn down, yellowed. This chest, like I mentioned, and the bed, double-sized bed. What are you looking at in particular? And is anyone else stepping in here?
Yeah, I'm in there.
Did you say... Oh, well, I opened the chest. You said there's a chest.
You want to open the chest? All right, so you step up. I mean, I say chest. It's like a hope chest.
Yeah.
Kind of like a long, like, trunk, almost. You pop it in there. There is a lot of things in here. Bull whips. Stained cutlery. Fork, knife, and spoon. Pliers. Forceps. Rags. Electric cattle prods. Piano wire. Barbed wire. Hammers. Needles, tape, and razors.
Jesus Christ. This is the real crime. Holy shit.
Does this feel like it phases any of us at this point?
No. We're past this. Roll sanity.
Everyone?
Yeah.
Woo-hoo. Fail.
Fail.
Pass.
I would say Caleb. Caleb, as Ray is looking through this chest, you notice towards the headboard where the shackles are, very close to the shackles, carved into one of the bedposts, very small, very faint, the word mommy. Everyone who fails, if Caleb points this out, is going to lose 1 point of sanity.
Caleb has broken for the third time.
Faint, sharp, jagged marks indicative of someone carving it with their own fingernail. Caleb, do you point this out?
No. There's one place left. I mean, we got one way in there.
Alright.
You're holding it.
I'm holding it.
The way to get into that hatch.
Sorry, I wasn't thinking of blowing this place up even more, but, you know, I guess you're right.
We think it's really going to blow into this metal box.
Worth a shot, Jerry.
Yeah, let's try and break in first. I mean,
doubt the pipe bomb's going to work.
In RJ's last moments, I would think he'd be truthful with himself, and he said Marsha's coming. I don't want to just dig ourselves in this basement cave sex dungeon, whatever the fuck it's gonna be down there, and she comes in from behind. Let's try and be cautious about this, alright? We already did something fucking crazy. Well, our late sergeant did something crazy.
Sit here and wait. We already waited.
Let's try and open it up without dynamite, alright? Let's go back in there.
There's no way to the second floor.
There is. You would just have to remove some debris and really kind of force your way through, and it would be kind of scary to walk on. You're not sure exactly what it looks like up there. You can see through to see some parts to walk on, but basically where this debris fell on LaRocca is basically the landing of the second floor. You can do whatever you want to do.
I'm going to start fucking with the debris, try and make it a way that I can get to the second floor. All
right. So you take a good look at it, kind of analyze it. It would probably take you about maybe 20 minutes to clear enough debris to squeeze through. And you have the feeling that once you got probably about halfway there, you'd have a better idea of how it would be to navigate up here.
Okay. Yeah.
I'll help him out with that.
Caleb's trying for this hatch door.
Yeah. So, starting with our guys clearing debris, you guys spend about 10 minutes trying to, you know, move stuff away, pull out 2x4s and chunks of drywall and chunks of shingling that's fallen from the roof above. And eventually you can see how you would have to maneuver this is hugging the wall on the right side, squeezing around. because the landing of this floor landed down on Laraka, like I said, so you'd have to squeeze around, make your way through. But you see that these stairs do turn. So basically the stairs go up, and whatever is upstairs is off to the left, and it seems mostly undamaged. So you'd have to kind of finesse across that and then get to the other side. Mechanically, I'm not going to have you guys roll for it, but basically it's going to take you 10 minutes to get to this point, to get up there.
I'm finessing.
Okay, okay. This is where the shooter was, correct?
Somewhere here.
In this, like, hallway and surrounding rooms, if you will.
Perhaps.
The one that I
on this
shot.
Level, yeah. on this elevation. Correct.
Yeah. I know, but...
I know.
Could be more.
Jerry's going for it.
If you go for it...
At least taking a listen before I proceed.
Yeah, I'm with you, and... Caleb, come on. Come on.
Caleb, in these 10 minutes that have passed, it's still going to take you guys another 10 minutes to clear the rest of the debris you need to get through. What are you looking for in specific? You have the sense, after at least 5 minutes looking at this, that this is heavy metal. What are you looking for in specific? You're not going to be able to wedge this open. You're not going to be able to strength this open. This is
that's what Caleb,
a locking mechanism.
That's what Caleb tried to do for the 5 minutes.
For sure, this is a locked mechanism.
Okay. Yeah, then follows the two of them.
Now, the extra 10 minutes that you would need with the help of Caleb turns quickly into 6 minutes as you guys clear the remaining debris, bringing it down onto the first level and clearing a space for you guys to squeeze through to get up to the second floor. What are you guys doing?
Proceeding with caution, gun out. Yeah. Like I'm fucking clearing a place. And like, I wanna kinda, like as if someone was in there.
I'm following his back kind of when he's watching his feet. You know, I'm watching in front of him, kind of.
Okay.
And then Caleb, hang at the entrance of this debris up here. You know, give us a shout if anyone pulls up or something.
Gotcha. You make your way through, press your back against the wall, and shuffle. And you look down, and you can see that study that you were looking in before with the books and the antiques. And shuffle around and turn the corner until you land on what looks like a hallway that extends up. Now, what you notice first, no windows, but you see on your left, 3 doors, and on your right, 4 doors. This hallway is narrow, and it's covered in purple carpet that extends all the way up. Wood panel walls.
I want to go to Ew. Whichever door I believe.
That's a gross mental image. Ew.
What?
It's like a fucking whorehouse.
Oh, yeah. Purple carpet and wood panel doors.
Wood panels, yeah.
I thought it was kind of fucking cool.
Hallway.
Never going to Nick's house.
In the house.
Yeah, I want to go to whichever. I want to go to whichever. Whichever room I think the guy that I killed was in.
So, based off of where you shot him from. So when you're outside, you shot him in the top right corner.
Mm.
So you would imagine at the end of this hall, he would be on the farthest door on the left.
Left. Okay.
You go there?
Yep.
Making your way down, you pass the 2 doors on your left over to this 3rd door. You open the door?
Yeah, obviously cautiously with the gun out, but yeah, I do.
Cautiously open it. It looks like it opens in. Press it in, kind of clear it as you look through. You see a window off to the right side that's been shattered. A body is halfway in and halfway out of that window. The room itself looks almost identical to the room you saw downstairs with the bed and the chest and the couch.
Boxing.
And the red carpet.
Okay. No one else in here?
No.
Okay. I want to first check the body.
Check the body. Lift them up from the back of the head. Look them right in the eyes. You don't know who this is.
Wallet, anything? Pick pockets?
Go through the pockets. Nothing.
Okay. Check the... seam stains? Chest in here?
Chest in here, yeah.
Open it.
Open it. Similar, but a little bit different. Cattle prods. Pliers. Screwdrivers. Needles. A lot of needles.
Nothing else in this room catch my eye?
Nothing catches your eye.
Okay. I want to walk out of the room.
Except for the window that peers out front. And if maybe you catch it looking out front. You don't see the horse. You see Roy still laying there. You see all the bodies. Nothing's changed.
Is there a room right across the hall?
There's a room right across the hall.
Ray's near me.
Ray, you make your way in.
As he's in that room, and I kind of realize that maybe it's a little more dead up here than it max possibility, I want to bring Caleb up, or wave Caleb up. And then once you get near the top, I want to go with Jerry to the next room. Caleb, you hang out up at the top entrance of the stairs. Keep an eye on the hallway. If anyone comes out these other rooms, you just tap them.
Yeah.
I want to clear all these rooms.
Yeah, I'll clear them with you.
For the sake of brevity, to save everybody here some time, you go through all seven of these rooms and they are identical. A bed with metal shackles, a leather-bound chest with various instruments of torture and pain, various stains, a couch, and red carpet.
Cuck couch.
Dude.
Crazy.
Jesus. You put a cuck couch in every single room.
You can't say that.
They all have the same colors.
Same
smells.
Same color scheme.
Stains, I mean,
no,
smell.
No, the stains different. The stains vary. Okay. It's not identical.
Crazy. So funny.
Fuck.
But each have shackles. Nothing has anything out of place.
Yeah.
They each look like different personal hells.
Okay.
No more bodies up here.
No bodies.
Okay.
What you do notice is the one directly across the hall does have the other window. So there's basically two windows on the front, on the front of the house. One on the right side where you shot the one guy, and then one on the right side, which is undamaged, unbroken.
Do I not remember anyone being in that window?
No.
Okay. I guess that's it. I mean, it's fucked up. I'm gonna go back downstairs.
Or actually, I think that window was shattered when you took an errant shot and missed. So that window is crashed out.
Well, I'm gonna go back downstairs, and there was a guy in the doorway. I want to look for remains, anything that I can find of anybody else who's in here.
All right, so you start making your way out. Are you two doing anything else upstairs?
Yeah, if you're done with your sweep, we'll all head down the stairs. There's no like attic crawl space up here.
Doesn't seem like it.
Okay,
nothing immediately obvious. Making your way back downstairs, it's not hard to see. It's completely obvious. Spray of blood and viscera. Body parts. Legs, arms, hands, faces. Two halves of two different faces.
I'm looking for literally, like, if I find a half of a hip with a pocket.
No, it looks like any kind of clothing has been completely blown to shreds by this pipe bomb.
Okay, nothing. I want to say to my people, no sign of Dan.
Yeah, because
I'm looking for him.
He's in the fucking hatch.
You really think he's just in the hatch?
What, are we going to wait around here till morning?
No. How can you get it open?
The
pipe bomb's not going to work.
Why not? You saw what it did to this house.
Yeah, a wooden house, not a fucking metal box.
Well, let me try then.
What if we need it?
Alright, I want to examine the area he wants to blow up and kind of surmise what sort of damage this would do, if this would collapse in the same amount, a less amount, or more.
Roll demolitions, and whatever you roll, minus 20 from it, because you've already seen what a pipe bomb like this is capable of.
Okay. Dude, I got to put these in the dunce chair.
Dude.
97 no. Minus 20, 77. To a crit fail.
Unreal.
Maybe. You don't know.
Maybe the same.
You have no idea.
Is this an exterior wall to this room?
Put these in the... Yeah.
That, the room that contains the hatch.
Put them away.
Is there an exterior wall to this?
Yeah. I mean, however much damage it does, we can clear debris, come back in here. Does anybody have a better plan?
There's no lock on this. There's nothing.
Nope.
I can't tell. What is this? Like, what kind of steel it is? Like, is it, like, what is it, like?
It's metal.
Is it metal that can be melted?
Probably not.
So
if it can't be melted, it can't be.
There's no handle?
There is a handle. There's, okay, like, a valve-turned handle. A hatch.
A valve turn. Okay, yeah, like a twisting handle. So when I go to turn it, it's locked.
It's locked.
But there's no other anything on
of the door. No writing, no like the keyhole, okay, nothing.
Okay.
Whatever is holding this in place
is from the internal lock.
Correct.
Yeah. All right. There's got to be something that unlocks this thing that isn't right here.
Unless it goes to a different spot. Unless we can search the area, find some Bilkos. But if not, give me that bomb.
We gotta look first, man. This you can get in this door right here. This handle is attached to this lock mechanism, so it's gotta somewhere right around here. I would assume that there's some way to unlock this door. I start like searching in the room, in the adjacent rooms, rubble wall, like under rubble walls.
All right, you're starting to take a look. What's everyone else doing?
Like, Caleb goes outside.
Caleb, you go outside. Night has fallen. He's looking for wherever an exit would be to like a tunnel. You start looking, Jerry.
I fully examined the bookshelves.
Yep.
There's no bullshit little fucking thing to pull out.
If you took the time to take every single book off the shelf, there's nothing there. Ray, you take the time to look through all the debris, all the rubble. Nothing. 10 minutes pass. Caleb, you're making a scouring outside. The darkness makes it a little bit more difficult, but you don't see anything sticking out. You take a good look at the back of this house, and it looks like it extends in that backwards direction, about the same as it does in the front. This clearing with these visible stumps that are here. There's no visible bodies out back, and there's also nothing that looks like it's of note.
I checked. I see nothing. Unless you guys want to sit on your hands.
Go ahead. And I walk out. I walk out of the building.
Yeah, man. Whatever. Just fucking do it. I don't care anymore. Do whatever you think you have to do. Midnight Killy. I walk away.
Caleb kind of sucks on his teeth. Takes the bomb. Steps out of the room with a little clearing, this half room. Lights the fuse. Slides it under the door as far as he can to this hatch. And then quickly makes his way out the front door.
Running out of the front door, you barely make it in time before a resounding boom. An explosion rockets off, almost louder and more violent than the first, sending shards of shrapnel and debris in all directions. Because this was in the back right of the house, you guys come directly out the front. No shrapnel is in your direction. However, the house at this point collapses to a point that you notice completely alters its stability, completely alters its foundation, collapses in on itself. This moment of the three of you standing outside in this field among all these dead bodies, including your sergeant in the dead of night. As the house falls to the ground, the ranch falls to the ground. Now, the area in which this pipe bomb exploded is off to the back right. What are you guys doing?
Caleb runs over. He starts trying to assess where the room was and tries to clear debris to try to get a path to this hatch.
It's not hard to see that where this hatch originally was, now there is a sunken in section. All the debris surrounds a singular hole. Any kind of debris that fell from above has fallen into the hole left below as the hatch has an opening.
Caleb wants to start clearing the hole.
Clearing around the edges of it, and you can look down to see a ladder that's been exposed, this bent metal peeking up and curving over where this pipe bomb likely exploded from. Looking down into the hole, it's darkness. Down, down, far. Maybe 100, 150, maybe 200 feet. You see light far, far down below. This ladder extending all the way down.
Caleb doesn't wait for an answer. He starts for the ladder.
What are you guys doing?
Going in.
Yeah, I'll wait a while. Watch them go down, but then I'll go down.
Ray, you're standing there as you watch Caleb and Jerry descend down this ladder, climbing down rung by rung.
Can I try and set like a... That would be a little tough. It might not be great, but like a debris trap, if you will, sort of. Like, if someone tries to come down here, they're probably going to make this fall down the ladder rather than be able to grab it out of the way. And it'll make a noise, sort of. You know, like just pieces of wood, rock.
I wouldn't say that's too hard to set up kind of like a rock on like a slat of plywood. Yeah. So that if this plywood is moved to kind of make way to come down, that this rock, this piece of rubble concrete would fall directly down. That's easy enough.
Cool.
And you kind of set that up, and Caleb and Jerry are already kind of making their way down the ladder, and you set this up and start climbing down yourselves. The three of you climbing down this ladder down into the depths of what you can only imagine is hell. Find yourselves preparing for the end, close to the finish line. Search for Dan Winters continues. And that's where we're going to pick up next session.
Thanks for listening to this episode of LFVCU, a Nasty Table production.